The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Mark Pitts with KCHA Charles City and John Jensen with the Grundy Register. Mark, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Senator, thanks for your time here this morning. I know that you've been monitoring the Pure Prairie poultry closure in Charles City. What kind of conversations are you having, or what are you hearing from the USDA in regards to that situation, which, of course, put about 140 people out of work?
Yeah. Between me and my staff, we've been involved in more than one conversation, including the USDA, the Iowa Department of Economic Development, growers, and I suppose people that are connected with the company. And we've talked to other members of the congressional delegation because of this being involved in three states, Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. And I think Iowa being kind of a creditor now, I think you're going to probably have to ask Idaho's governor's office or the Iowa Department of Economic Development or the Iowa Department of Agriculture, but you're probably have to determine with them where everything is and how far along it is. But we've been involved in several of these conversations.
All right. Thanks, Mark. John, you can go ahead with your first question.
Sure. Senator, last week you called out the Biden-Harris administration for their ag policy, noting that farm profitability had fallen $22 million since they took office. Please explain your concerns and what needs to change to alleviate these.
Two things. One, they're pushing harder in the Democrat Senate to move along a Senate agriculture bill out of committee. And secondly, their lack of any trade negotiations on exports for the reason that farmers, just 2% of the population, produce food for the other 98%, but we also produce about a third of it for exports. And when countries have high tariffs and there's no effort by any president, Republican or Democrat, to negotiate down tariffs, it makes it more difficult to sell our products overseas when you're faced with high exports. I will give them some credit for where Mexico, for instance, isn't taking GMO corn, for pushing the Mexican government to abide by the U.S. Mexico-Canadian free trade agreement, that they are violating that agreement by not taking our GMO corn. By the way, that last thing, I complimented them for pushing hard, but that hasn't been accomplished yet.
All right. Thanks, John. Back to Mark.
Senator, you called recently for continued oversight to address housing affordability. Can you talk a little bit about how that trickles down from an economic standpoint? I know certainly here in the Charles City area, the housing has been at the top of their forefront because without housing, it makes it difficult to recruit people to fill jobs because they need places to live.
No, I'm going to start out with not answering just about Charles City or Iowa. I'm going to start out nationally by saying if there's a shortage of housing and 50% of the renters are paying more than 30% of their income on rent, because there's a shortage of all this stuff, you bring 10 million new people into the United States through not enforcing the laws at the border. It's obviously if you're going to house them, it's going to take housing away from other people. So that's one of the problems. They aren't keeping people from illegally entering our country because you can't enter the United States without our permission. That's what the federal law is. And then secondly, probably more applicable to some of our urban states than it is our rural you have a situation where local building codes and land management rules that make it too expensive to build, and things of that nature. So that drives up housing costs, and it would obviously drive up rental costs. And then when you get to rural America, I think we have this problem, that there's plenty of tax credits to build housing in the United States, but the tax credits are used by people that have money to invest, and then when it's invested, they want big projects, and those big projects can't go into communities the size of Charles City. They want to do it in Des Moines, Waterloo, Davenport, Sioux City, and all that sort of stuff. And we need to get this tax credit spread out more to smaller communities like you're asking in Charles City. And I'm not playing down this problem of Charles City or any other community that size or even a little bit smaller, because I've been hearing this for a long period of time from local industry, particularly manufacturers, say we need workers, but one of the impediments to getting workers is the fact that we can't have housing for them.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Back to John.
Senator, last week you joined Iowans in celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Act. Talk about the importance of this act and what it means to Iowans.
Well, 50 years is 1 year before I went to the Congress of the United States. So I didn't author this legislation, but as a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee for the last 44 years, I've been involved in the reauthorization of it from time to time. And the importance of the Juvenile Justice Prevention Act is to make sure that young people, you do what you can to keep them out of trouble. And if they do get into trouble, you direct them to programs that will prevent them from getting in the criminal justice system as an adult and then end up in prison, or even as a teenager end up in prison if they've committed an adult crime. And it's been very successful, and we're celebrating the 50 year of it and complimenting the people that administer the program in Iowa, and also listening to some of the people that had been in trouble and how the program had benefited them. So we had young people testifying to us.
All right, and back to Mark.
Senator, since we're talking young adults there briefly, young adults, older Americans, Election Day, 2 weeks away, how do you go about encouraging people to get out and cast their ballots and the importance of doing so?
Let me repeat for you what I tell high school kids. And remember, on my 99 county visits, I probably go to 10 or 15 high schools a year because I never get young people of that age to come to my open town meetings. So I go to them. And if I get a question like this, or sometimes I say it even without getting a question, in America, you have a chance to rule or be ruled. In America, you have a chance to help govern or be governed. And I would hope that you would want to be help in the governing. And the least you can do is vote to be a part of helping govern instead of being governed.
All right. Thanks. And then back to John for the final question.
Sure. Senator, when the Senate returns from recess on November 12th in what will be a lame duck session, what kind of issues will be on the table? What kind of things can you work on in the Senate at that point?
Well, things we have to work on is to make sure government's funded. We haven't passed any of the 12 appropriation bills yet. And so that's number one. Number two is either pass a five-year farm bill or a one-year extension of the 2018 farm bill. And then the issue of national defense, every year for 64, 65, or 66 years in a row, we passed a national defense authorization bill, and that needs to be done during this period of time. And then lastly, we usually have some what you call rural health care extenders. These are bills that pass for a year or two or at most three, and then when they sunset, they have to be reauthorized, and I would hope to get that done as well. Now, the limited period of time to do all these things is 2 weeks in November and 3 weeks before Christmas. So I don't know whether there's enough time to do all that, but it's got to be done.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Goodbye. Thank you, Senator.
Thanks, Mark and John, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.